and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Out of Iraq. We will talk about that and the fact that mom is always right about everything. 6 minutes after the hour, this hour of gloating brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie.
What do you write about?
Listen, I get called an Obama apologist every day. We are out of Iraq before schedule. I know not by a lot, but it's a very, very good day, I think, for the United States of America. And I'm sick of people.
So you're saying everybody else is wrong?
I'm just saying all the bitching about the president. And as Hal Sparks, my happy, clappy liberal friend, said yesterday, we are getting there. Maybe not as quickly on as many issues as people want. But, you know, that was exciting. It was just exciting, wasn't it? To watch the pictures. We have a big, you know what? I can't wait to talk to Alan Grayson. Congressman Alan Grayson coming up in less than half an hour for another rollicking edition of Face the Grayson. Hop on those phones early. They get jammed up. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. We have the president of Emily's List coming up to talk about what she's doing to counter Sarah Palin's Mama Grizzly campaign.
Yes.
She is giving us the advantage of picking women almost as dopey as she is to support. But we will talk about what they're doing to combat that.
And her
she's trying to make it seem like just any woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
And her last two endorsements in the last two primaries in
different states,
they lost.
Yes.
Big time, like, harshly.
Her record's spotty at best. Okay, I'm here, everybody. Nobody panic. That was just a little joke. Boy, I do not recommend partying with Senator Barbara Boxer, because that just finished right now. Okay, I'm totally lying. I forgot to set my alarm. But I was partying with Barbara Boxer last night, and I apologize to Joan Rivers, who joins us now. Good morning, Joan Rivers.
Good morning. And how are you?
How unprofessional was that of me? I was late, and Joan Rivers is on the line.
No, I'm busy reading about Elon and Tiger Woods. And she wanted that marriage to work, but $100 million convinced her it wouldn't.
Yes, somehow she's able to salve her wounds.
Yes, well, she said, money doesn't bring you happiness, but it can bring my parents over from Sweden.
Now, Joan, you've been documenting Hollywood and watching divorces for a long time. I thought for $100 million you'd have to shut your pie hole. No?
She did, so she got it.
Oh, I see.
And she doesn't say anything really bad about him. She doesn't call him by that ass, you know.
Yes. She did say that forgiveness is a process.
Pardon me?
She did say that forgiveness is a process, and she's not quite there yet.
And I will have that process in the south of France and Sardinia. And
do you believe her that she didn't hit him with the nine iron or sand wedge?
Of course not. Everyone saw that. Nonsense.
Yes, that's what she wanted us to...
Well, maybe she didn't hit him with a nine iron. Maybe she hit him with another kind of club.
Exactly. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's one of those...
When they give these retractions, you got to read it very carefully.
You're an old veteran of that. Now, yeah. Joan, God bless America. It is a good country. You are back on with the E! Fashion Police for the upcoming Emmys on Monday night, August 30th, 10 p.m., right?
Yeah, we go on. The show goes on Sunday, and on Monday at 10 o'clock, we tell you what we really thought.
which is so much easier than doing it to people's faces. You can say much better stuff, can't you?
But this is what I always wanted to do from the beginning. And I kept saying the red carpet, you can't say anything. You're not going to say to their face.
May I say, you have a pretty awesome record of doing some of that.
But it's usually afterwards.
Right.
And so now it's truly, we can sit and talk about them and show the picture and really say what you want to say. And it's also great to do it the next day because everybody has been going around gushing, oh, they look so beautiful. And then you say, are you out of your mind?
Well, you say, you guys are like the fashion Mystery Science Theater. You sort of say what everyone's saying in their own living rooms, right?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Is your daughter, is Melissa doing this with you as well?
Melissa is executive producing, which is, I wanted her on the panel, and she loves the producing part of it, so she said no.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's a pleasure because the producer knows exactly how to handle you and what you want, so it's a joy for me, and she's thrilled. And so, she runs the whole show now.
So she's able to get you back for everything you've ever done to her as a mother.
Yeah, she can give me the bad lighting. Make the old bitch look terrible.
Yes. Well, see, this is why I never usually leave the studio, because I'm sort of like you are. We tend to joke about people, and then I run into them in person, and it's that awkward.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, you have to be very careful.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to be a good comedian, seriously, you got to be an outsider. You can't sit and have dinner and then go talk about them.
Yeah. My favorite note I ever got from a television executive on one show, he said, do you have to make fun of things? And
yes.
We were kind of like, yes, sort of.
well, that's why you're paying me, you idiot.
Exactly. But I have to remember, I do have to remember, you do have some greatest hits where you've said things to people's faces. What was the most awkward moment you've had on the red carpet?
Truly, I don't know. They all blend. Truly, you move on. Someone just told me that he thought the funniest line I ever said was, I taught my grandson learned to walk by running away from me. And I thought, that's very funny. I didn't even remember saying it. That's good. I can use that again.
Yeah, you've had some. Didn't you say to Anthony Hopkins, you're with your mother, and it was his
that
wife?
That was awful. I wanted to kill myself. And they got divorced shortly thereafter.
Oh, dear.
This very matronly, heavy woman. And absolutely looked 30 years older than him.
Yes.
And I said, and this is your mother. And he said, no, this is my wife. And I thought I was going to die. I felt so sorry for her. You know?
But you're fearless. You just move on.
You just pretend you didn't say it. You just keep on going.
You soldier on. Now, wait, the only other one I can think of wasn't there a famous one? Didn't you say, let's get Kathy Bates over here, bring her a muffin, and give her a muffin? And did she hear about that? Was she mad?
Well, she never comes over. Huh. I once said that if she was on the Titanic, it wouldn't have, if she had not been on the Titanic, it would not have gone down.
Oh, dear. Oh, Joan Rivers.
And no sense of humor.
All right. It is the upcoming Emmys this Sunday. Joan's show will be on the E! Channel Monday night, August 30th at 10 p.m. Always hilarious. Joan Rivers, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Great to talk to you. You're not funny.
Wait, you know, real quick before you go, because we've talked about this before. You know, you used to have a political radio show, and we talked politics last time. How are you feeling now about the teabaggers and God knows what else is going on politically?
I hate them all. I think this country is, don't start with me, this country is in such trouble. We're just screwing ourselves into the ground.
Yeah. What, as a woman...
I'm not going to get into politics with you, because I think they all suck.
Yeah, but, okay, but my only point is, you know, you're one of my heroes, you're one of the pioneers for women in comedy, and so this whole, like, Sarah Palin wave with Sharon Engel and... Isn't it good for the women's movement? It's like they're crazies.
I think it's embarrassing that this idiot, if you read anything about this moron, this real moron, is now suddenly heading a movement. It's just terrifying. Would you want her as your president?
Yeah.
I mean, look at what you, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always get accused of being jealous of her. And I'm like,
of what?
Because apparently, I don't know, she's... and now they're saying, you know, she's had effect in some of these races, so, she's this big power, and I just...
She is. That's what's so scary. Which shows you... See, I don't believe in democracy. I believe in a benevolent dictatorship.
Yeah.
Go into a 7-Eleven and tell me how many people in there deserve to have a vote.
Joan Rivers, for some democracy, everybody. Just a little bit. Joan Rivers, my buddy, my pal. See you next time. Thanks, honey.
Goodbye. I'm glad George Washington is dead.
Yes.
Thank you, Joan Rivers. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
See, she doesn't mean it. When she says, don't start with me, my job is to start with her.
That's right.
Don't start with me. Wow. She's like the Ground Zero mosque, whatever people, rumpus room. I'm for freedom of religion, and not all of it, a little bit, some places.
Right.
Democracy, yes. Those people on 7-Eleven, no.
Computer says no.
It seems like the far right wants to make Ground Zero a freedom-free zone, you know?
Exactly. All right. I'm a little discombobulated. Why do you ask?
How late were you up last night?
Can you hear my voice a little bit? So I was partying with the liberal Hollywood elite.
Oh. Mm. As you are wont to do.
Oh. No, I'm not want to leave my house. This is what happens when I leave my house. Disaster strikes. I did a fundraiser for Senator Barbara Boxer, who I just adore. I really do. I just, I would do it. I would. I've done it before. We were just talking about Joan Rivers about. I'm sorry. In what world could this race even be close? Carly, yesterday's hair Fiorino, the worst CEO of all time, according to most lists,
yep.
or in the top 10.
So yesterday.
Anyway, ran a company into the ground. Where do you start? Got fired. Mm-hmm. And she's running on that? It's like George Bush. Doesn't it remind you of that? Oh, he was a businessman. Well, a failed one.
Yeah, he ran businesses into the ground.
Look what he did to the country. And the fact that, I mean, I you know, I don't care what side you're on. Barbara Boxer, one of our finest senators, in my opinion. I mean, just been fighting for people in California's rights forever. And it's just the fact that it's even close is... Open your checkbooks and hearts now for Senator Boxer. Let's go, people.
Did you donate last night?
No, I donated my pearls of wisdom.
Of course.
No, I'll donate, don't you worry.
Okay. You only donated to the Barack Obama campaign to
see
Oprah.
More importantly, I said, can you tell your people to call us back so we can get you on the show?
And what did she say?
She said yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know. Yeah. They get in a close race, they get nervous if you're on certain shows that... might be of some controversy at some times. People did, they did tell me in advance, they're like, just be careful because you never know if there's an undercover, you know, videographer would.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
No F-bombs, just, you know.
No macaca moment.
Keep it G-rated. So
yeah.
I did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Checking the bushes for, like, videographers from Newsbusters.
Yeah.
Like,
for little
oh,
red lights.
What am I going to say that's going to be on Fox News tonight? See, if I didn't love Barbara Boxer, if I was out for myself, I would have said something. Just to get on Fox News tonight.
You know, the thing about getting on...
This is what happens behind closed doors at liberal Hollywood elite fundraisers. Barbara Boxer has friends like this, and then, yeah.
The thing about getting on Newsbusters is that I always get a Google alert.
When they're nice enough to tell us.
Yeah, exactly. They're the only people that are on Google alerts anymore,
really.
It's a game
now. I think it's a bit of a love story, Newsbusters and I.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak as a well-known hate monger. I love you, Newsbusters.
I just love how they called you a hate monger and they didn't provide any examples.
There weren't
examples.
Exactly. At least Media Matters helpfully goes, here's the audio.
Right.
Or here's the transcript.
Yeah.
Newsbusters, just based on the fact that I guess people just know that about me.
Sure.
All right, I apologize. But no, see, you're looking at me because I didn't even have time to put makeup on because I'm so late and you are horrified. I'll do that during the break.
Yeah, kind of.
Phew. Werewolves of London. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have no fear. Steffi's here. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Have me feeling like she's ready to blow.
Yeah. I would hop on those phones if I were you, because we are mere moments away from Face the Grayson.
That's right.
With Congressman Alan Grayson, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, 24 minutes after the hour. This part of the show brought to you by, yes, that's right, Carbonite. Don't risk losing your important files. Carbonite Online Backup, it automatically backs up those files on your Mac or PC. Whenever you're connected to the internets, go to Carbonite.com today and enter Stephanie for a free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. Thank you. Thank you. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, by the way, it's another love story from Steph Space or Steph whatever, Steph Facebook, something. One of the Steph things.
Which Steph thing? Do we know?
I think it's just...
Stephanie Miller.
In general.
Okay.
Well, you remember Shano, the official montage maker of the Stephanie Miller
yes.
Show, and Danielle, the
yes.
official militant drunken Irish woman. Of the Stephanie Miller Show, mm-hmm. Gling and Gling. They hooked up, right, on the blog? The live blog.
That's right.
Well, that's Steph thing, the live blog. I'm like Oprah. How can I keep track of everything in my empire? I don't know what's there. I'm merely a figurehead.
Yes.
Anyway, but they're dating now, right?
They are.
You know, started blah, blah, and emailing and whatever.
Yep.
This is just a straight chick BFF story. Julie in Seattle. The official Beaver reporter of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Right.
Which I know is taking on another common connotation, but not that. She's a straight married chick in Seattle, and she's one of our many fine contributors. Ellie, and you know Ellie in Sausalito.
That's right.
Ellie and me, another Steph site story. Dear Steph, one of these days, Ellie from Sausalito and I are planning to meet and hang out in San Francisco. Oh, boy, this might be one of those late-in-life things. She invited me to come down and visit her lovely home, no less. We e-met, chatting about all things Photoshop fun. Oh, yeah, they're both. They do hilarious Photoshop
yes.
fun. She's a very talented professional artist, and we ended up writing back and forth almost every day about this or that. As luck would have it, it turns out we're both pampered, idle, left-wing, white, middle-aged housewives with gardening and other girl stuff in common, as well as our politics and progressive radio obsessions. Then you'll have your second Stephanie Miller Steph site connection tale, albeit not as good as Shano. And a significant other. Albeit, yes.
Yes, okay.
Since that one's romantic and magical. Ever wonder how many people in the world you'll never know or hear about met and became pals just because of...
Stephanie Miller.
I don't know, Julie. I just love every city story that all goes back to me. It somehow has to do with me being the best thing ever. Thank you, Julie. I didn't mention that story because of me. It was just because it was a touching story.
About you.
All right, and now a hate letter. Okay, this is from Donald. Well, it says Donald, but then he signed it at the bottom, Angelo.
Oh, maybe it's an alias.
Oh, that's clever.
Mm.
Well, then he probably shouldn't have put his full name in the subject line.
You are an alias.
Did he at least get it in the big box?
He did get it in the big box.
Okay.
That's funny. It's yes, it is an alias. There's one name in it. I try not to read whole names, even when they're asshats.
Right.
But there's a whole name, and it's Old Fisherman is also his handle.
Mm.
Oh, and he copied someone on this Catfish Face. He copied Catfish Face on this hate letter to me.
I wonder if that's the lovely and talented Mrs.
Maybe. Maybe it's his Lurleen. Lurleen, look what I done wrote to the left-wing slag!
Hey, Catfish Face, get in here!
It's so endearing, pet name. Catfish Face. We don't know if it's kinky or not. Dear Steph, your show... this is just my favorite because of the spelling. Your show is stupid. Seriously.
With a T.
With a T. That's like Get a Brain Moran's.
Yeah, that's precious.
Your show is stupid. And also, your callers are full of no matter, either.
Full of no matter?
No matter, either. Also, too, in addition, guessing a Sarah Palin fan.
That sounds like it.
Catfish Face! I'm zinged off already! What is going to happen once your party looses seats? That's L-O-O-S-E-S. I mean, loosen the screws on the actual seats in Congress, does he mean? Or does he mean actually...
One would
which
take that,
it
yeah.
will be, even if the House or Senate is not taken over by your Socialist Party, then you will still be needed... At least 7 to 10 votes instead of one now. There's more. I'll read more from Donald, a.k.a. Angelo the Builder.
And Catfish Face.
And Catfish Face. And we'll talk to Alan Grayson, 1-800-STEPH-1-2. Hop on those lines on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I don't like the new you, but for some reason I kind of want you to slap me and throw a drink in my face.
Done. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Jennifer Palmieri of the Center for American Progress.
She's never been a senator.
No. I just made her one, though. is coming up on the mosque gate thing.
Yeah, and who's funding the opposition to that? Mm. That's some fascinating stuff there.
Interesting. All right, and the rest of my hate letter coming up in just a little bit. But first, oh, yeah.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Good morning, Congressman Grayson.
Good morning, Stephanie. Let me just get this right out in front, okay?
Okay.
I really, really like you.
I really, really like you, too, in a way that should really unsettle Mrs. Grayson, oddly enough. Now, Congressman, I read the piece on Slate about you, Mutual Irritation Society. I loved it. I love what you do to Republicans.
You know, you heard about Rick Scott, this crook who's running for governor, and because he's a Republican and he's a crook, Republicans voted for him overwhelmingly. It takes one to know one.
Yes.
They're blaming me for his victory.
Really?
Spent $50 million of his crooked money in order to get the Republican nomination. And the somehow or other, that's my fault. It has some convoluted thing to do with teabagging and so on. I don't really understand it, but we've gotten so deep into their heads, they blame me for Rick Scott being nominated for governor by the Republicans.
I love the degree to which you irritate them. By the way, speaking of money, here's the other magical thing I learned about you. You're a very successful lawyer and telecommunications executive.
What?
But you actually have supporters that support you. You didn't have to spend your own money.
Well, let me tell you something, Stephanie. Last week on your show, we mentioned the website congresswomanguts.com.
Yes.
And we told people that we were having a money bomb because Tuesday was the Republican primary in Florida.
Right.
And we wanted to make a point, show the flag, stick a finger in their eye.
Yes.
So on Monday, we had our money bomb at congresswomanguts.com. And I told you and your listeners, and I have to tell you, Stephanie, thousands and thousands of them thought about contributing.
Listen, it's tough times, but we do love you. We really do.
In the end, over 8,000 people did contribute.
Oh, good.
And we raised $250,000.
Good, good,
so
good.
So for the three or four or five people who are listening who did contribute.
Thank you, sir.
You will now be joined by the hundreds or thousands that we've shamed into.
Good, good. You know, I bring up your fabulous telecommunications executive background because I did a fundraiser for Barbara Boxer last night, and there is a difference. Carly Fiorina, bad, unsuccessful executive. Alan Grayson, good, successful executive. It does make a difference.
Yes,
I was saying, look at George Bush. He ran the country into the ground just like he did the several businesses that he ran before he went into office, right?
No, there's definitely a pattern there. You know, they're either failures or they're crooked. You know, they call themselves small businessmen when they took the company, a successful company, and ran it into bankruptcy. They call themselves successful businessmen when they took a giant, vast, huge business and began, made it into a small business. Then they call themselves small businessmen.
Now, the piece in Slate basically says Alan Grayson tries to show Democrats how to take on the Tea Party. I think that's very apropos. You say many people improperly lump together libertarians and the Tea Parties. That's really wrong. Many of the libertarians are physicists, so many of the Tea Party people don't bathe.
There's
really not much in common there. So how do we take on the Tea Party?
Oh, goodness. I mean, we point out that they've joined together in a national suicide pact. What they want to do is they want to eliminate Social Security. They want to eliminate government spending. They want to eliminate police protection, fire protection, or privatize it. I mean, basically, in the end, we'll end up with the war of all against all. It'll look just like Somalia, and that's what they want.
Yep.
I think pointing that out is pointing out what the end game is for the Tea Partiers.
Yep. My favorite line in here is one of your asshat opponents, campaign manager, said the only people worse than Alan Grayson are Alan Grayson supporters. That's me.
How do you feel about that?
That's
you
me.
All listening right now.
Yeah.
Are you angry?
Yes,
are you
really
angry that he said that?
Go to congresswomanwithguts.com.
Yes, exactly. Cha-ching. You know, you do say one thing that we've talked about, and you know, you are someone that so, riles up the base, and God knows we need that in November. You say, I feel bad sometimes, because I feel like Democrats should have delivered more for the people who supported us. In 2008, 75% of the people who voted for me were Democrats, only 23% of Republicans voted for me. What does that tell me? I should be doing the most for the people who voted for me, not for people who voted the other way.
You know, I was actually misquoted, and we've contacted and it's not his fault. I mean, he did a great job. He came down to Orlando. He spent a lot of time on this, but what I actually said, and he was jotting this down, he wasn't recording it, so what I actually said was that 75% of the people who voted for me were Democrats, 23% of the people who voted for me were independents, and 2% of the people who voted for me were Republicans.
Yes, exactly.
And they wonder why I feel the way I do.
Yeah. Well, but what
it's
do you...
It's not exactly unrequited love that we're experiencing here.
Yeah. Well, you and I have had this discussion before, is that I really do feel like, you know, we have gotten a lot of done, despite enormous obstruction, and I just really, that's the thing I fear the most, is that the base is not going to turn out in November. We are going to get more of these lunatic fringe teabaggers in.
Well, I'd like to think of what we can do about that, what we can do to motivate the base, and I think the answer is to put you on TV.
I like that answer
anything
best.
Anything that would motivate the base more than seeing you on TV every
yes
day.
Yes, I agree. I love the other one last thing in the Slate thing. You say whoever wins is going to be an extreme right winger because they're all extreme right wingers. They couldn't find a normal person to run against me. You say every one of these candidates is so far to the right as if they're going to fall off the face of the earth. Yeah.
You know, the one who actually won this contest to see who could be the nuttiest nut.
Yes.
He wants to cut Social Security by $1,000 for every person who gets it. So that's pretty nutty if you're on Social Security.
Yeah.
But it goes like way deeper than that. What he wants to do is that he introduced a bill when he was in the Florida legislature to prohibit divorce. So think about this. Suppose, God forbid, you're a battered woman, okay? You wouldn't be able to get divorced. But there is one exception under the law that he introduced. The one exception is if you're cheating on your spouse. So, what you do is if you were in that situation, you would have to cheat on your spouse to get out of the marriage. But the exception, the catch 44, the exception is that if both spouses are cheating on each other, then they can't get divorced.
Ah, clever.
He actually introduced a bill like that. So, you know, you're a battered woman, you have an affair. To get out of the marriage, you go to court, you find that he's been cheating on you also, and therefore you can't get divorced. Mm. There's only one place in the entire world,
yes,
where you can't get a divorce or annulment, and that is the Taliban government in northwest Pakistan.
Yep.
Boy, family values is a messy little muck pit once you start moshing around in there, huh?
Yeah, they have these bizarre conceptions. The guy's name is Daniel Webster. We call him the man with the 19th century name and the 13th century mind.
All right. Paul in Chicago, time to face the Grayson. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Congressman Grayson. I had a question about net neutrality. I'm all for it, and I read somewhere the FCC has been talking about getting into it, and I just wanted to know your stance on the whole thing.
Well, I think it's really one of the most important issues of our time. I mean, in the same way that seniors say, don't mess with my Social Security, I think everybody under the age of 65 says, don't mess with my Internet.
Right.
What we see with the Google-Verizon deal is an effort to mess with the Internet.
Yep.
The Google-Verizon deal is a proposal from Google and Verizon, where they say that a carrier like Verizon, which is a common carrier and supposed to carry traffic without discrimination,
mm-hmm.
would be able to take some websites and charge them for delivering their content to the rest of us, take other websites and deliberately slow down the transmission of their content so a two-minute video takes 2 hours to load. This is a violation of net neutrality, and this is specifically what Google and Verizon are now proposing. So I guess when Google said, we promise we won't be evil, they were lying.
Yep. Yeah, they're absolutely breaking their promise.
Yeah. Congressman Grayson, you obviously have been a very outspoken war opponent. So President Obama gives that major address from the Oval Office next Tuesday night. Is there anything he could say that would, obviously you have to be happy that we are at least getting out of Iraq. I feel like it is a campaign promise he's fulfilling.
Peace to me means bringing the troops home. They are suffering terribly. A quarter of a million of the troops that we've sent to Iraq and Afghanistan have come back with permanent brain abnormalities. I think I've said that on the show before.
Right.
Every day there's more. 15% of all of the troops that we send over to Iraq and Afghanistan come back with permanent brain abnormalities that you can see on a CAT scan. I'm not talking about headaches. I'm talking about far more serious things than that. And this is what we're doing to young people who will be relying upon the rest of us for health care for the rest of their lives. It's a terrible tragedy. In addition to that, we're spending $1 million per soldier per year in both Iraq and Afghanistan. So if we have 50,000 soldiers left in Iraq and we have 100,000 soldiers in Afghanistan, that's $150 billion a year that we should be spending on jobs, on schools, on health care. The entire health care reform bill could be paid for twice over with the money that we're simply spending on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
But, Congressman, obviously the president always had said we have to be as careful getting out as we were careless getting in. You don't buy that that's what he's doing, that we just can't take every last soldier out tomorrow of Iraq?
I don't think that it makes us any safer to have them there.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't see the point of it, and nobody's been able to explain it to me. I was over there. I spoke to General Odierno and the other top generals over there. Honestly, as far as I can see, the mission is for us to establish an Iraqi military-industrial complex at this point.
Ah, yes.
That involves hiring 1 million soldiers to lord it over on the remaining Iraqi population and soak up their oil revenues in the process.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're doing anything constructive for our security, but I know that every day we're harming our security because of the expense of the war and the damage that it does to the people who are serving.
Congressman, before we go, speaking of fearsome weapons, Sarah Palin, obviously the storyline is that she is now a power to be reckoned with in the midterms, because I don't know what happened with the chick fight with Murkowski in Alaska, something, but I still contend that she is very popular with her base. Is that going to help them in November? When you look across the spectrum, she's not, right? Across
the election results in Alaska is 13 to 12 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I mean. The media loves a storyline that now she is, the kingmaker or whatever. And I think, among the crazy right-wing base that votes in Republican primaries, maybe, yeah.
Well, I think what people miss about her is the fact that she's utterly unqualified not only to serve as vice president or president, but to serve in public office at all.
Yeah.
The only job that I can think of that she'd actually be good at is palm reader.
Congressman Alan Grayson, we will leave it at that. Another fabulous edition of Face the Grayson. See you next week, honey.
Yeah, you bet.
All right.
I'll be there.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I call him Congressman Honey. All right. I've turned another man gay. I'll tell you who.
Oh, my God.
And finish my...
I don't know how I feel about this.
And finish my hate letter as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn.
May we take your order? It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Turn me inside out and round and round.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, all right, where's my hate letter music? I forgot I didn't get to read the rest of my hate letter.
You're just a little discombobulated this morning.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy is not maybe the sharpest tool in the shed. He has an actual full name in the subject line. But then he goes by Old Fisherman, and then he signed the letter Angelo the Builder Santori, which I think is just an alias.
Is he a fisherman or a builder?
I don't know. He copied Catfish Face on it, which we think is the lovely Mrs.
Mrs.
It's
Angelo.
Pet name. It's a pet name.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I'd be interested to know. We have a lot of oystermen from Cape Cod that listen. I'd be interested in other pet names for your wives. I'm just curious. Catfish Face! Come here! Look at the letter I'm writing to the slag. All right, so I just liked it because there's a lot of misspellings. Your show is stupid, as I said, with a T, stupid. Either like you would say when you were like fourth grade or just, because maybe he has a fourth grade education. You stupid.
Sure.
Oh, and also your callers are full of no matter either. Guessing Sarah Palin fan, little world salady, doesn't the words don't necessarily go together?
Full of no no gray matter, or
full of no matter either. No matter. No, they you don't matter is what he's saying, callers.
Oh,
what?
Oh, that's what he meant.
Mm-hmm. What is going to happen once your party loses seats? Which I said I think he means actually loses, not like looses them, like, would unscrew them like a prank. Like a congressional prank.
Sure.
America's funniest congressional pranks. Right. Ah, we loosen the screws on all the seats. Looses, which it will, if the House or Senate is not taken over by your socialist party, then you will still the netted. You will still the netted. I think he meant needed.
Not netted?
No, netted. N-E-D-E-D. Anyone knows what that means? What?
Huh.
Netted at least 7 to 10 votes instead of one now. Wake up and use your head. We have one collective head here. Apparently it's Stephanie Miller. I don't know who's using it now.
I think Rebecca has.
Yeah, Rebecca has it.
Yeah. We haven't had a head in here since 2006.
Wake up, and apparently we don't even have collective heads here at the Stephanie Miller Show. Wake up and use your head, as with your stupid talk. And so you think, oh, maybe that was just a misspelling.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
That's how we spell stupid, is stupid. Wake up and use your head as with your stupid talk. You will lose people that hear your show. Maybe, well, not the people, not the ones that are stupid. It's
right.
Obviously their thing.
Exactly.
I'm their bag.
We know Newsbusters listens.
Stupids. And I say that in a loving way.
Of course you do.
It's from Donald, a.k.a. Old Fisherman Angelo the Builder. Okay.
And his lovely wife, Catfish Face.
We salute you. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm taking too long to get through this. It's just sometimes I have too much fun with it. Maybe that's why you told everyone you're gay so you could get them now to hear your stupid show and get kicked off, which I am sure you will soon. Oh, okay, thank you. I hope you're not Italian, as then I would really feel bad to have a slut like you in my Italian pride. That's capitalized for some reason. You're... Y-O-U-R, not your, like should be with an apostrophe.
That's a huge pet peeve of mine.
I know.
People who mess that up.
Oh, he really ticked off the grammar bug of the Stephanie Miller Show, Chris LaVoy. You're a disgrace to America and what it stands for, dot, dot, dot. Oh, he didn't fill in what it stands for in his opinion. It's just I'm not...
Oh, you're supposed
I'm
to
just
know.
I'm not whatever that is.
I bet you Catfish,
Angelo,
Catfish Face would know.
Catfish Face, give me a ring. What's it like to be Mrs. Donald somebody, Gold Fisherman, Angelo the Builder Centauri? Maybe these are you know, guises he puts on in the bedroom. Who's there? It's Angelo the Builder tonight. Angelo the Builder Centauri. I think he lifted that from Sopranos or something. Anyway, thank you for your thoughts.
Wow.
Too much of a slut. I'm not Italian, so I guess that's... That's of some comfort to him. And
you're a Polack.
And Catfish Face. Hey, I'm a Polack, everybody. Okay. That's that guy votes. That guy does.
And I'll bet you he votes,
you know,
Republican.
Maybe Joan Rivers was right earlier. Maybe democracy not for everybody. Maybe not for that guy. Maybe some people really shouldn't be allowed to vote. And I don't include in that Mrs. Catfish Face.
We don't know her views.
No.
And we don't know her education level.
She could be mortified at Donald Old Fisherman Angelo the Santori Builder guy.
Yet she allows him to call her Catfish Face. So I don't know what kind of smarts are there.
Is he... Damn it, is he a builder or a fisherman? I just can't figure it out. Maybe he's trying to throw us off on everything. Maybe he's like a baker or something. And he just... Those are his... wacky handles. Okay, so you heard about this, boy oh boy, the hysteria reaches a level on the right, doesn't it, with this, whatever it is, fill in the ea here, whether it's Islamophobia, homophobia, whatever it is they get people ginned up about.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about this, the cab driver in New York City got stabbed after being asked if he was Muslim.
That's horrific.
A likely hate crime in New York City, which of course has been the site of the ugly emotional debate over the proposed Park 51 Islamic Community Center. The news station reports a cab driver was attacked by a young man who appears to have assaulted him due to his Islamic faith. The man reportedly asked the driver if he was Muslim. When he confirmed that he was, the young man attacked the driver, slashing him in the throat, arm, and lip with a knife. Ay vey. Welcome to the United States of America, 2010.
Yep.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yoo-hoo! It is the Stephanie Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on that try free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. It's the magical key to everything. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out.
You can get all kinds of stuff with the keyword Stephanie.
Oh, by entering Stephanie, it's just a magical kingdom. What?
Some things you maybe didn't anticipate. If you type in S and M instead of SM, for example.
Oh, yes. Dear.
It takes you in an entirely different direction.
StephanieMiller.com is the website.
Speaking of which, I think Mrs. Grayson's going to put out a restraining order on you, the way you've been flirting with him. It's
the way I've been sleazing really around with Alan Grayson?
Getting out of hand.
He understands. Yeah. Coming for you next, Mrs. Frank Rich. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. John in Asheville just wants us to know he's drunk. Good morning, John.
Yeah. I'm hammering.
What's that? You're hammered?
How is your hammer hanging?
How's my hammer hanging? Good, honey. How about you?
Wow.
I don't know. I'll tell you what. You're talking to Mr. Grayson?
Yeah.
He's quite a man, isn't he?
Well, John, you know, what? It's 10 o'clock there in Asheville, North Carolina?
It's 10 o'clock, but I work all night.
Oh, I see. So it's party time.
Like
it's cocktail hour.
Off from work.
So you're having a breakfast cocktail?
It's a brunch.
He's having a mimosa. Leave him alone. What kind of work do you do, John?
As little as I can.
Good job with that. Good. How do you know when you're done?
You can get
all right.
I don't know.
Is this Tom DeLay?
They just tell me to leave.
Okay. All right, John. Thanks for coming. Oh, it's back in the. I'm back at the Yuck Yucks. Back in my club days.
It is any consolation I'm going to drink too.
Okay, he seemed to pick up the finer points of that Alan Grayson interview.
Yes.
I'm sure it was the net neutrality that he wanted to discuss.
Well, great feller.
When you did remote from Asheville, weren't they drinking early in the morning?
I think you're thinking of Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You were at the Orange Peel, though. They were drinking there.
Yes, probably. Jim and I don't remember. That's so many restraining orders ago. We don't remember what happened in Asheville.
You were drunk.
Yes. Well, as is
the
custom.
Do
what the locals do. You have to blend. Jim and I were trying to blend.
Von Seal's probably drunk right now.
Fine French wine. Yes.
Lavender Pit, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show from Tucson, Arizona. Hello.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Mook.
Morning, baby.
Morning.
I'm calling this morning on behalf of the grammar police for the attempted murder of my mother tongue by your correspondent there before the break.
Yes. Oh, but I'm stupid.
I believe he gets the award of ass hat of the day.
Okay, yeah. All right. So done. Hey, listen, it's early. You know my show.
It's a long way to go till 9. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, honey. You never know. Super Christian Diane might call in or somebody.
Oh, we can only hope.
If there is a God, Mrs. Catfish Face. Catfish Face.
Hey, Catfish Face!
I can't get the words in the big box. How do you work this typewriter with the TV on it? This
will throw her off. Even though my full name is spelled in the subject line, I'm going to sign it Angelo the Builder.
Oh, are you okay?
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, in honor of John, let's do a little drunk stack. Why not?
All right.
Why? It involves drunkenness and Sheboygan. A 27-year-old Sheboygan. Woman passed out drunk in her car while trying to place an order at a McDonald's drive-thru earlier this month, according to court documents filed this week.
There you are,
drunk in a drive-thru in Sheboygan.
Was the car in drive at the time?
I don't know. Oh, by the way, don't we have where's our second Sheboygan thing, speaking of which? It's not often we get a Sheboygan stack. Other thing, not the symphony, the other one, because it's, because there was Guy Lafleur news last week, Jim. There were not a Bark Park, but there was, Yes. Alright, that's good. Thank you.
So what's up with Guy the Flower?
Guy Lafleur? What was the story, Chris? There was some
He got custody of his kids or something? Was that it?
Great. Now I don't know the Guy Lafleur news.
Oh, I'll look it up.
Guy Lafleur.
He finally got out of the penalty box.
It had something to do with taking his 16-year-old son to a hotel to meet his girlfriend or something. Just something a little...
Oh. Hmm.
A little skeevy.
All right.
I don't know. Oh, Drunkstack Park. Dude, this is why John is drunk at 10 o'clock in Asheville, North Carolina, because things are bad out there, Jim. The headline is, drunken mortgage worker shoots company's computer server.
Wow.
Well, that'll teach you for raising the rates at the last second when I almost had a 5-year arm nailed down. Prosecutors say a drunken Utah mortgage company employee opened fire on the firm's computer server, then called police and told officers that someone stole his weapon and shot the server. Good one.
Good one.
Someone.
Who hasn't wanted to shoot the server?
Of course.
I've shot the messenger.
Okay, he was.
But I didn't shoot the deputy.
He was. Guy Lafleur was convicted last year of telling a bail hearing that his son Mark would respect a court mandated curfew, but later admitted his son had spent two nights in a motel.
Okay.
But that conviction was overturned last week.
Sacré bleu.
Exactly.
So that's what it was.
All right. Jim, we were talking about the story of the Muslim cab driver that got stabbed in New York after the passenger asked him, "Are you Muslim?" And what kind of America are we now where people are just on the safe side going to...
And Peter says, no.
No. I'm not.
Maybe Mel Gibson disease is spreading.
Yeah. Asshattery is spreading about throughout the land. Mayor Bloomberg, by the way, who I've said, Republican, speaking the best sense on this that I've heard on the...
Islam did not attack the World Trade Center. Al-Qaeda did. To implicate all of Islam for the actions of a few who twisted a great religion is unfair and un-American. Today, we are not at war with Islam. We are at war with Al-Qaeda and other extremists who hate freedom.
By the way, Newt Gingrich, frankly, do you think that, I'm not really sure, do you think at some point they grow some shame or whatever? He won't explain why he's backing out of that 9/11 anti-mosque rally. Because, you know, he's been saying some of the most inflammatory, ridiculous Nazi analogies.
No, that wasn't me, frankly. That was somebody else.
Maybe internal polling from his organization says that he shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
Saying Phil Gingrich, different guy. Not me. Frankly, I'm a liar. Frankly.
I wonder if that's what he does every time he gets caught doing something. It was Phil Gingrich.
Yeah. It wasn't me. It was him.
It wasn't me. Last week.
It was him, right?
Phil Gingrich's office is like, oh, he did it again. It was not Phil Gingrich.
Frankly, it was Phil Gingrich. Anything turns out to be asshat, like, it was Phil Gingrich. Frankly, here's the guy I married four wives and, issued divorce papers when they were on their, sick bed. Frankly, it wasn't me. No. Wrong guy.
Last week, the right-wing group Stop Islamization of America announced that Newt Gingrich was a confirmed speaker for the group's September 11th protest against the proposed Spark 51 Islamic Center. Oh, other speakers, moderates, Jim, like John Bolton, Andrew Breitbart. And, of course, the far-right Dutch parliamentarian Geert Wilders.
Geert Wilders.
Oh, he's like
Nazi.
Looking.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Last week, however, a Gingrich spokesman then said, no, he's not scheduled to be at the rally. He's not speaking. His staff had only agreed to send a video, not make an appearance, and that, too, has now been canceled. Gingrich won't say why.
Maybe he had some kind of accident. Well, that'll happen. This guy's...
Frankly.
Protesters will still hear from Wilders, who tweeted... I booked a flight in a hotel, great feeling, important speech, no one can stop me, no mosque at Ground Zero. On his website, he touts the would-be appearance with Gingrich, calling the duo two eagles who will come together to heighten awareness and stop the mosque. Oh, that eagle's going to have to soar alone.
Let the eagle soar like she's never soared before, from the rocky coast to the golden shore.
Oh, how we...
Let the mighty eagles soar. I were king of the forest.
God, how we missed the musical stylings of John Ashcroft.
Not really.
Someone lend me a tenor. Okay, Donna...
I saw that on Broadway.
Donna Lieberman of the New York Civil Liberties Union.
We unequivocally reject the political posturing, the fear-mongering, and the crude stereotyping that seek to demonize the project whose goal is to build bridges.
Yeah, by the way, bet you're wondering, how's that there Koran burning going?
Yeah, how is that Koran burning going?
Despite these, which city is this now? I forget. Florida. Mm-hmm. Florida. Florida church is burning Korans on September 11th, because that's helpful in so many ways. Despite the fire protection ordinances, the poorly named Dove World Outreach Center in Gainesville is committed to hosting International Burn a Koran Day on September 11th. The radical church, which boasts an Islam is of the devil message on a sign outside the church and is the title of the pastor's book, insists we will burn Korans on the church grounds despite being denied a permit. Rules? We don't need no stinking rules and no stinking badges. We will, while the church may be fined for openly burning the holy text, one armed Christian conservative group named Right Wing Extreme
armed
vowed
Christian
to protect the church from any other harassment during the burning. Hang on a second, there's more to this story. Right Wing Extreme had insisted that, they insist President Obama is a Muslim, quote-unquote, who is intentionally destroying America's economy, constitution, and has a socialist agenda aimed at bringing about a new world order. Wait till you get to the punchline of this whole story. The group measures its state of alert through a DEFCON system. Currently, we're at level 3.
Mm.
The DEFCON system warns the group's moral and ethical culture under moderate attack, and the U.S. Constitution is only partially intact at this hour. According to their ethical code, members swear to defend the Constitution and recognize that freedom comes from the shedding of blood and sacrifice.
Wow.
That group decided the Koran burning group is a little too crazy for them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The update is the militia group now saying it was too quick to on the trigger. In a press release, Right Wing Extreme announced it is pulling support for the International Burning of the Koran Day and will no longer attend. So, that group thinks the other, they're a little too crazy for them. They're a little, they were going to protect them and bring guns, but now they're like, you kind of creep us out. People might think we're extreme. Oh, that's the name of our group,
wait,
Right Wing Extreme.
Why would they think that?
Yeah. Love that story. Love it. Love it. Love
Isn't
it.
That precious? Mm. Do the people who burn the Koran realize that Jesus is mentioned in the Koran as a, you know...
They're not going to burn that part.
Prophet.
They're going to burn that part. Like, freedom of religion is everywhere except for a few blocks here. And some of the amendments are good, not all of them.
Right.
Some of them. They just think, you can burn around. It's just like, you know, it's like you eat around the parts of things you don't like. You can just burn around the parts where Jesus is mentioned.
Okay.
20 minutes after the hour, right back. Stop looking at me like that.
I don't know if I'm going to send this one to go to meeting.
20 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry, that's inappropriate.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And then MTV killed the radio. Killed the video. Sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. Well, YouTube resurrected the video.
That's true.
That's where I see all of my music videos now.
Mm-hmm. And everything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And cats getting
cats.
Surprised
right.
And stuff.
Surprised cats.
And dancing pandas.
Oh, you know what my fancy liberal Hollywood elite party last night?
What?
Somebody told me that their partner is the head of VH1, and he's a huge fan. Hello!
Hello, VH1.
Hello.
How about that?
Behind the radio. Come on, let's go. I'm just saying, there could be a special behind,
Stephanie Miller.
Something.
How about less Ocho Cinco dating shows and more videos?
Okay.
Yeah.
So noted.
Okay.
1-800-STEPH12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jennifer Palmieri. Palmieri, the Center for American Progress. is joining us next hour to talk about the funding of the teabaggers.
Yes.
All right. Teabagging is for nuts. You know that. Hey, Jim, Dick Army.
and yes. Penis Air Force.
Mm-hmm. Changed his name from Penis Air Force.
Mm. Chavon's Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. Anyway, the currently named Dick Army.
Pitcher National Guard.
Hmm?
Anyway,
he's the head teabagger. You know, it takes a Dick Army to good for good teabagging, doesn't it?
So they say.
And he's the former House Majority Leader in the Freedom Works. That's what it is. Freedom Works. Freedom Works. Pardon me. They're behind the whole teabagging. He's making the rounds to promote his new book. In trying to reestablish the conservative brand, Army is attempting to throw President Bush under the bus. In an interview that was recently on the O'Reilly Factor, he dismissed the qualifications of Bush, who pushed for the 2008 financial bailout funds. When O'Reilly tried to defend Bush's decision, Army said O'Reilly told O'Reilly that Bush isn't a big thinking guy and he lacked adult discipline.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Unlike Army, because he's apparently wow. a red economist of some sort, or that's how he knows better. What? Is it me, or hasn't it kind of pretty much been quantitatively proved that the bailouts worked?
Yes.
I mean, the auto industry is in the process of paying us back with profits. Interest.
With profits, yeah. Yes. And without stimulus or bailouts of any kind, we would have gone into a deep, deep depression.
Yes. I think George Bush did do one thing right by accident at the end. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, he did.
Pains me to admit it. However. All right. The Glenn Beckapalooza coming up. When is it? This weekend?
This weekend.
Which is not political in any way.
No,
listen to me. It is not at all political. It is just a thing of the people. It is not promoted by anyone.
It's a spontaneous event, which I've been pushing for a year now.
Mm-hmm. This weekend, Glenn Beck will hold a rally, of course, on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial that is being billed as a non-political event that pays tribute to America's service personnel and other upstanding citizens who embody our nation's founding principles of integrity, truth, and honor. Led by Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Restoring Honor rally will feature speeches from Beck and Sarah Palin.
Oh,
that's weird.
That's a brain
trust. That's a Republican. Huh.
Okay. Restoring lucidity.
Who's not? Yeah. She's not political at all.
No,
that's what
not
I can
at
tell.
All.
If you want a non-political rally, you ask Sarah Palin to come. Okay.
Martin Luther King was against the Vietnam War, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Last Thursday, Beck told O'Reilly, who openly questioned how an event featuring Sarah Palin couldn't be political. That Bill, he gets a zinger in every now and again. He told him, this isn't political. This is about restoring honor in our own selves. We will never fix our country unless we stand in the shadows of Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. However, despite Beck's claims, it is clear that right-wing groups and politicians are helping organize, promote, and subsidize the event. But nice try, Glenn. Nice
Did you see the Tea Party send out a mailer to its folks telling people to avoid the black and gay areas of D.C.?
Yes.
Oh, yes, which subway stops or which subway lines are there?
Stay away from the green line.
Yes, they're icky places. You don't want to go there.
There are black people. Saying.
I was listening to someone that's from D.C. It's almost impossible to get around with not taking those. It's like taking the two modern, arteries.
Exactly. Like any city, there are dangerous areas of D.C.,
yes.
But, you can't include an entire subway line
in
that.
Not the green and the yellow, no. Those are bad, bad, wrong.
Stay on the white line.
Wow, are they racist.
Oh, boy. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
With her sense of humor, I hope she's got some kind of a hospital plan.
It is the Stephanie Miller
Butler.
Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Pippa in Long Beach with the same question Jim and I have all the time. Hello, Pippa.
Good morning, Stephanie and the Move.
Good morning.
I missed you guys for a little while, but I wanted to call you because I've been reading an LA Times article on the backers of the health law take on critics. And the critics are started by a group with Karl Rove in the lead. Why is this man not in jail? Yeah,
yes, why exactly. Is he not trading cigarettes for his life in prison? That's what we want to know as
well.
Oh, and by the way,
years.
He's pumping a lot of money into this race against my dear friend, Senator Barbara Boxer.
Yep.
I just found out last night.
Hmm.
Bastard person.
Karl Rove is so yesterday.
Yeah, he literally is so yesterday, Carly. Good job.
So yesterday.
By the way, I want to speak on behalf of many of the gay men that were at the event last night. Her hair looked fabulous. Barbara Boxer's hair.
Carla.
Yes, Barbara Boxer's hair looked delightful last night.
Carly Fiorina often looks a mess.
She looks like something I found in my dream once. I'm just saying.
She fired a bunch of people and gave herself a $42 million bonus.
So exactly.
For screwing up HP.
Yeah. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Get Steven Crowder. That's a new name in the right-wing world.
I try to branch out a little bit. He's an entertainer, you see.
He's a Crowder.
Yes.
He's on the Hannity. Okay.
Having entertained the troops who serve overseas.
Wait a minute. What sort of entertainer is Stephen Crowder?
I think he's like a comedian or something.
He's one of those right-wing comedians we've heard so much about.
Yeah.
Remember the hate letter writer that wrote a hate letter to me and Aisha Tyler?
Yes.
And said if they were really funny, they'd have a career like some guy that we've never heard of. Some guy we've never heard of. Some right-wing comedian who's funny.
I'd like to see Mark Levin with Sean Hannity on his lap enjoy a ventriloquist act.
That would be comedy.
Because it's so true.
We see that every day on television. That's what it is. Okay, so, Stephen Crowder.
Yes.
It's a well-known right-wing entertainer of some...
Of some repute?
Sort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Having entertained the troops who serve overseas multiple times, I can tell you that this really echoes a sentiment they've expressed to me on several occasions to a T. This is not a president who has been very supportive of the military. At least they don't feel that way. And revealing a timetable for Afghanistan to the public just gives them another reason to feel less undergirded.
Undergirded.
Less undergirded.
They're not undergirded. The president is not properly undergirding them.
Maybe he needs some Spanx.
Is anyone else's gaydar pinging?
Come on now.
We don't know that.
We haven't gotten to the Ken Melman story yet. Come on now. I turned another man gay. Hello, Ken Melman. Welcome.
Yeah.
Has he been talking to Shelley Wright? I suspect the gay whisperer again.
I don't know how I feel about that, because he did so much damage to gays and lesbians in the last decade.
Listen, that was the famous ad with the two guys in tuxes. I don't get. You're perfectly willing to let someone gay bash and...
I'm glad he's out now.
Dick Cheney allowed it. Ken Melman allowed it, you know.
I'm glad he's out now, and I'm glad he's working to, you know...
Yes, me too.
...to support gay marriage and all of that. However, he did so much damage last decade that I don't...
to get to that story yet. We're getting to that next. We're finishing...
All right, sorry.
However, you're right.
Okay.
Another one lost to the homosexual agenda.
Anyway, can you Google Stephen Crowder? I'm so curious.
Crowder, as in
because
crowd
apparently
control?
the military he's speaking for, he speaks on behalf of them. They're not a fan so much of the Commander in Chief, but they're big, big Stephen Crowder fans.
He's a stand-up comedian and social/political commentator.
Mm. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way we could get some samples of his comedic stylings?
Oh my gosh, he kind of looks like a douchebag.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. I'm obsessed. I'm nearly obsessed with him and what some of his comedy might sound like.
Well, he's on YouTube.
Oh wow, he does look like a douche. Okay, he's a dweeb.
Yeah.
Well. You know, Jim, as you know, Sean Hannity, quite
Stephen
the arbiter of comedy talent, being a noted impressionist himself. So if he's on Hannity, then you know he must be funny, because, Sean Hannity,
Clinton, your mentor, the man you love, said earlier today, I ordered America's armed forces to bomb and strike targets in Iraq.
Wow. Does that suck?
Oh, my God.
You'll never guess.
Seriously? He is so proud of that impression.
On
Stephen
Crowder's website, it's getting crowdered in here.
Yeah.
Okay. Stephen Crowder, get out of the bottom.
Here's a quote from him. I love stand-up comedy, but there's nothing better than comedy you can relate to.
He does that kind of stuff. That stuff you can, that relational sort of observational humor.
I guess.
I need some examples of Stephen Crowder humor. Okay, let's, I'm sorry, we spent a long time on him, but it's just...
he spends his time creating YouTube vlogs, video vlogs, that aren't only funny, but have life lessons in them.
That's
the best kind of funny, Jim. You know, so oftentimes Jim will do something hilarious, I'll be like, Jim, where's the life lesson in that? Okay, good. All right, I'm sure we'll find something to play for you. Speaking of comedy teams, Steve Doocy and Brian Kilmeade.
Wow.
I'm the Fox and Friends.
Well, Bloomberg's doubling down, and he says just build it right there. Everybody else essentially is wrong, although he's kind of tried to tamp it down. Interestingly enough, the White House has come out and said, the president's not going to have anything else to say about it.
The mayor even rejects efforts to find a new location. He says don't even try to move the mosque.
Because I think that his argument is, I think he actually said, what is the no mosque zone exactly? Is it two blocks? Is it four blocks? Well, there is a mosque.
Don't
four
build
blocks
a new
away.
One 200 yards. There is one 4 blocks away, but no one's saying move the one that's there. They're saying, don't build a new one there. Why are you so determined to put it there? Why are you so stubborn?
Yeah, when the founders said freedom of religion, they didn't mean that mosque.
No, yeah.
That's too mosque-y.
Why are you being so stubborn about your First Amendment rights?
Because one mosque is enough.
That's what the Treaty of Tripoli said. No mosques anywhere in the United States. Because we hate Muslims.
No mosque.
Actually,
no mosque.
Said quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What boxer am I thinking of? No mosque. It's okay. Never mind.
Barbara?
No, huh?
No, actual Barbara.
Who said no moss? It was after bad...
Somebody got pummeled.
Yes, just pummeling in boxing history. Come on, someone help me out here.
Cuba?
I am not a boxing fan in any way, shape, or form. So you're asking the wrong guy.
I'm just somehow picturing them hiring him for an ad, and he'll say no mosque. See, because it would be a play on the... Somebody help me out. Oh. Okay.
I know who you mean, but
I know. Glenn Beck on the radio.
There are those within the sound of my voice that say, damn right, just as insane as I think you are.
Yes.
There is not enough money and fame for me to live the rest of my life with people like you saying that about me to my children.
What?
So maybe you're the one that might be a little misguided.
Yeah. What he's basically saying there is, I'm not crazy. You are.
You're the crazy one.
You're the crazy one.
I'm not crazy. You are crazy.
Roberto Duran, Charlie Pierce has filled in the answer. No mosque. No mosque.
Charlie Pierce.
Thank you, Charlie Pierce, sports correspondent for the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you.
No mosque.
I'm telling you, those anti-mosque groups are going to hire Roberto Duran, and he's going to say no mosque.
No mosque.
Oh, my God. Sports guys love me right now. Between that and my Guy Lafleur jokes, I'm a chick that knows sports.
I love Charlie Pierce.
All right. Let's go to Mike in San Diego. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Stephanie, did you perhaps maybe bend Barbara Boxer's ear about coming out as opposed to being neutral on Prop 19 and pro Prop 19 to get young people to the polls? Maybe put
No, I did not. I did not speak to her of the Aqua Buddha, but thank you for that. We didn't get into that proposal. All right. I did ask if she worshipped Dr. Wood. No, I didn't. All right. Drug addled gas bag, Rush Limbaugh.
A question for you. How can America be Islamophobic? We elected Obama, didn't we? If this is a nation that is Islamophobic, how do we elect a man whose name is Barack Hussein Obama? Because don't give me this Islamophobic business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the people who are Islamophobic didn't vote for Barack Obama.
And he's not Islamic!
Yes.
That's the cretinous thing about that. Here we go again. He's obviously Muslim, and we voted for him.
His middle name is Hussein. What does that tell you?
Ergo, there are Arab Christians, by the way. Yeah. Well,
Rush Limbaugh again.
Back to Miss NBC yesterday morning, the Scarborough Show. They're talking to BBC News correspondent Kathy Kay, the co-host Mika Brzezinski. I have to tell you, when I see and hear what the Republicans have had to say on when it comes to kind of taking this mosque business to a vitriolic level, all I can see is that they're purposefully damaging our society in order to gain politically. Now, how in the world can a reasonable people see it? A person see it that way. The Republicans are purposefully damaging our society in order to gain we are trying to damage the society. We're trying to save it.
Right.
What?
Yeah,
save
you would
from
ever
what?
Do anything for cheap political points right before November? Yes, that's crazy that anyone would say
burn
that.
It down to save it.
What are they trying to save America from? The brown people?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I see. Okay.
Oh, speaking of which.
That's not racist.
I'm on.
He's trying to save you from a Muslim swimming pool.
I'm on Stephen Crowder's website, and he shows a picture of Obama getting the Peace Prize, and it says, I've got me a Peace Prize on there.
Oh, he traffics in the racial humor.
It's hilarious. And he's doing this rap video, which goes on for about an hour.
Oh, I am so going to be on that Steven Crowder website when we come to the break here.
Sounds like Steven Crowder needs to learn how to edit a little bit.
Oh, you see how he's talking sort of like the black folk kind of talk. I bet he's got some hilarious stuff on the Ebonics thing with the, you saw that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got
some. We need
Ebonics
translators. I bet Steven Crowder has already called the government to say he speaks jive.
I speak jive.
Oh, good.
Okay, Mark Levin.
And I want to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Your government is giving your children and your grandchildren a big gift. The most massive debt in human history. When these people voted for Barack Obama in this Congress, they voted to destroy the future of your children
sure.
and grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's exactly
yes.
what we
yes.
planned.
Yes, yes, to destroy the Children
Act. What does Charlie McCarthy have to say about it?
Sean?
Sean Hannity.
All right, that's there look funny. You know, Stephen Crowder cannot hold a candle to the comedy team of Hannity and Levin.
Waka, waka, waka.
Here's me talking like a black guy. Okay, 40. That was really kind of a vomitous right-wing world. I'm going to Stephen Crowder's website now. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, baby. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour.
It's in Mississippi.
Huh? I don't know. Turn me on. Whatever that was you just said. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Nick in Seattle on famous right-wing comedian Stephen Crowder. Hi, Nick.
Hey. I was just thinking, I went online and looked at this picture, and he kind of reminds me of like a 14-year-old version of Adam Sandler's The Water Boy.
Yeah.
Mama said, yes. You know, that's kind of the attitude that I get from him.
Yes.
Apparently he's 23.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's the comedy tot that went on Sean Hannity's show to say that the troops love him, but not the commander-in-chief.
Yeah.
And because he speaks for all the troops, because he talks to them when he's entertaining.
Doing a hilarious Muppet show.
He called it entertaining. Yeah, Jim's been transfixed by the Stephen Crowder website.
Wow.
Where it is. It's Crowder in here.
Crowder in here.
Okay, so what's this? This is just one. This is a random condom. Comedy styling that we stole from Stephen Crowder's website. This is his rap.
This is called I Gots a Peace Prize.
Because Obama got a Nobel Prize.
So he's talking kind of black-like.
A rap video.
Because
the
president is black.
The Nobel Peace Prize for 2009 is to be awarded to President Barack Obama.
I am both surprised and deeply humbled.
I heard it today. Barack got a prize. Seems they're dishing peace prizes left and right. If you want a prize, you can do it too. There's just a few things that you gotta do.
Oh, here's the rap part.
I mow the lawn, I got a peace prize. Doing the laundry, that's a peace prize. I'm grooming my dog, peace prize.
Oh my God.
And this goes on for about 4 minutes.
Yeah,
it's a 4 minute monstrosity.
That's a comedy.
That's comedy.
Piece. And Jim,
I'm sure
help
it
me
only
out
here.
The thing that would be funny about it so far is.
See, he did nothing for the Peace Prize. So, mowed the lawn, Peace Prize. Did the laundry, Peace Prize.
White people just think rapping's funny. Rapping's funny. It's something black people do when a white person still smiles. Is that the one where he's wearing a giant furry costume, or is that a different thing? Oh, he has a Muppet parody
skit. That's
his
Muppet parody when he talks about school choice.
I couldn't find... Is that on his YouTube channel?
Chris, that wouldn't be fair if we played that on the radio. You miss all the humor because he's in a furry costume.
Well, part of the time...
You can't see how funny it is.
Part of the time he's in a furry costume. The other time he's just lecturing people on school choice.
Maybe he likes that furry sex that we talked about last week.
Oh, yeah. He's a fervert. Maybe he's a fervert.
That could be. That could very well be.
Mm.
Oh, Schools for Fools? Is that what it is?
Probably, yeah.
Mm.
Oh, are we going to play that, too?
The little black Muppet swears all the time.
Why is this even more horrible than I suspected it would be? This the comedy of Stephen Crowder.
Oh, it's called Louder with Crowder.
Barack Obama loves talking to your kids.
Hey, Kim! Come along with Big Bear and sing the Obama song. Are we ready? Okay. O-B-A-M-A, 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 the Bible's name.
And that's all fine and dandy, but now the president wants your children to spend less time at home and more time in federally funded schools.
Learning is fun, isn't it, buddies?
Yeah!
Don't you just wish that you could learn
forever? I can't. I'm sorry.
No,
I can't.
My brain hurts.
I was trying to do that for my country. I was trying to show you what right-wing comedy is, but I can't. Yeah, that's... Wow, that is really a more awful comedy rabbit hole than we fell down than I even imagined.
I would love to see footage of his stand-up routine for the troops.
Crickets. Because the troops love him and not the president. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
I got me a peace prize. Crickets.
You know, we were like making fun of what he sounded like before, and then he actually did that.
Yeah, that thing.
Because that's how you know you're a comedian, when you go...
I wonder if he goes over and entertains, quote-unquote, the troops, and makes fun of the commander-in-chief in that way.
That would be
kind of treasonous, actually, wouldn't it? Mm.
And, well, more importantly, a crime against comedy.
Yeah.
General. In the Can the not-funny police pull him over? All right. Woo!
There are an awful lot of African Americans in the military.
Yes.
I wonder how they responded to this.
I'd be getting a Nobel Prize. See how I'm talking all black like the president? Gore in Los Angeles. Hello, Gore.
Hello. I think I just threw up in the back of my throat a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, I worked with a Muslim when I worked at the phone company, and he was the greatest guy, and he was an American citizen, and he loved this country, and the September 11th attacks was an attack on the country. So I don't understand why everything's so... It is anti-Muslim, because he's an American citizen, and it was an attack on him as well, and for what he believes in.
Yeah.
You know, Timothy McVeigh, that was an attack on the federal government as well, and he was Christian, I believe?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So are you not going to allow...
I love how they make it sound like that's just a ridiculous analogy. When someone goes, well, why did we allow churches to be built near the Murrah building? It's like, what? That's not the same thing. It's like, yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing. Tom in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, what I'd like to know is how he can be demonized for spending 20 years in a Christian church and be demonized for being a Muslim at the same time. The two don't add up. It's like saying Tiger Woods is a philanderer for having sex with all these women, but didn't you know he's a fag?
You know, Tom, you inject reason into what they just hope will be kind of emotional, fear-mongering, dividing, racist attitudes. There is no logic.
Reason again. I'm sorry with the reason. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Shame on me.
Thank you. Thank you for apologizing. I just think it's cute when our listeners try to reason with people on the right.
You can't.
But it doesn't make any sense. It's like that Dorothy thing that I fall into, Jim. What? Why would they do that? Well, they must know the president is Christian. They criticize Reverend Wright. Why would they do that? Because they're morons. They're hateful, racist morons. That's why. But, Stephanie, it doesn't make any sense. All right. Oh, James in Houston is a James Crowder, Stephen Crowder fan.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Hi, James.
Hi. I'm actually not a Stephen Crowder fan. I am a conservative. I have been most of my life. I'm pretty Republican, but you know, I do like to listen to the left wing radio, and I can tell you from what you just played, I would like to personally apologize on behalf of my party.
Thank you.
That was embarrassing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, James. I appreciate it. James, taking the comedy bullet for the whole party. Thank you. Thank you. Apologizing for the offense that is Stephen Crowder. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Doggy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow, John Fugelsang, our buddy, our pal, for another fabulous Fridays with Fugelsang. Oh, and Rob Reiner is coming on the big show tomorrow.
Yeah, finally.
Love us some Rob Reiner. He and his wife, very influential in the No on Prop 8 campaign out here. He's got a new movie out. Can't wait to talk to him. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Jennifer Palmieri, our old favorite of the Center for American Progress, joins us now to talk about who's funding the Tea Party movement.
Jennifer.
you
I
undercover agent,
start
you.
I off my Stephanie Miller interviews just by laughing.
That's all right. So you guys have been working hard to expose the Koch brothers, right?
It's Koch.
Koch brothers.
Koch originally means cook in German.
Oh, pardon me. Anyway. And their vast right-wing empire for some time, particularly because of the role in funding climate change deniers, the Tea Party movement via Americans for Prosperity.
Right.
This New Yorker piece now, the latest and most notable success you've had in trying to pull the curtain back on these secretive right-wing billionaires. I love the whole, oh, we're just libertarians. Look over there.
Right.
I mean, they're basically, you know, the piece says covert operations, the billionaire brothers who are waging a war against Obama. Tell us about it.
Yeah, no, it really is, and I have to credit Lee Fong, who is a blogger at Think Progress, who has been is the world's leading expert on the Koch brothers and has done all of the research on this. But it is sort of astounding that what is. There's a few things that they've done. You know, Americans for Prosperity, as you noted, has been funding a lot of mostly anti-environmental actions, like for example, the climate bill, but also the stimulus bill, and did a lot of things against Obama in support of McCain during the 2008 election as well. But they're also behind FreedomWorks, which is the main fund of the Tea Party as well. So
the Army of Dick. Excuse me, Dick Army's our Dick Army's outfit.
Yes, if you say so. So they're hitting it at a lot of different levels. So it's not, you know, you see some wealthy people and now because of Citizens United, even corporations maybe funding the sort of air campaigns where you do television commercials. This is a la Chamber of Commerce style. But these guys are hitting the political process at a lot of different levels, including what is ostensibly the grassroots level, and so their impact is tremendous. And I think that obviously we disagree with their philosophy, we disagree with the policies that they are espousing, but it's also and some people are like, well, there's Democrats that give money to big groups too, but this is about, I think they have two motivations. One is ideological, but and they are super conservative. Their father was a John Birch Society founder. But then it also the things that they're these policies that they are supporting or opposing is about their bottom line as an industry.
Right. Well, and Jennifer, I think the difference too is that they always try to keep saying, "Oh no, this is just spontaneous of the people," uprisings. Yeah, right. We don't know where all this is. That's the thing. It's like as Hillary Clinton said, and they mocked her mercilessly. The vast right-wing conspiracy is still in place. I mean, that's what people don't get is the kind of money that's behind all this.
Yeah, it's bigger than ever, and it's the irony of the idea that Dick Armey, who's more of a Beltway insider than me.
Right.
Which isn't saying something.
And you're calling us from inside the Beltway right now.
And I have to say, after I did the 2004 presidential election, and I said, I am getting in that beltway, and I am never leaving again.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm proud of it. But yeah. The idea that Dick Armey, who spent decades in Congress, who was part of the new revolution and bringing the Republicans back to take control of the House in 1994, which, you know, that alone was a long time ago, is the mastermind behind the grassroots movement is something that is an irony that people don't appreciate. And I'm not saying that there's not true anger out there, that they are tapping into that, and that's real, we shouldn't discount that. But they are, and the fact that they've sort of lost control of the Tea Party, and
right.
the fact that you see the Republican Party now having had Mitch McConnell suffered, I think it's 7 of his candidates that he supported losing in primaries. It is satisfying to watch them in some ways lose control of.
Yep.
It's delightful.
We're big fans around the Stephanie Miller Show of Young Frankenstein, and it really is. It's like you brought me an Abby Normal brain. What? Yo, this monster's gotten this Tea Party monster. Where is he?
They got a little bit of the Tea Party monster they have to contend with.
And now they're trying to put the candle back. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to
listen to me very carefully. Mm-hmm. Put the candle back.
And they can. I know Chris and I were laughing earlier about how they're talking about, Sarah Palin, kingmaker. It's like, she gives out endorsements like friggin' Skittles.
Right.
And like, when half of them work, they go,
actually less than half of her.
Less than half of her picks, you know.
Yeah, last week I was on a cable show. They were like, and what about Sarah Palin? She's lost her touch. She's becoming a hindrance to candidates now, which wasn't true last week, nor is it true that she's making people this week. But.
I know. It's like, all right, you won the Republican Mean Girls fight with Murkowski in Alaska, whatever. It's like, what big surprise that you're popular with right-wing wackos in Alaska, right?
One would hope that she, for her own sake, I suppose, that she would be.
Yep. Well, anyway, Jennifer, great work on this. I mean, I think it's just, that's all you can do is just keep trying to expose it. It's like this mosque thing, you know, which is, Nancy Pelosi said, who's funding this? This is obviously not some grassroots uprising,
Yes, and I do think that so long as people understand, and I think that the American public is becoming more sophisticated when they even see these ads that, you know, maybe that they should think about who Americans for Prosperity might really be.
Yeah, exactly. Jennifer Palmieri doing the Lord's work as usual at the Center for American Progress. Thanks, Jen. Talk to you soon.
Stephanie.
All right, there he goes. The Koch brothers. I assume that meant George Bush and whichever one of his brothers he was.
Waka, waka, waka.
Waka, waka. He allegedly had a bad blow problem. Okay.
That was funnier than anything Steven Crowder has done.
You know, I was going to go to Ken Melman here, but I think I'll just take a brief break because that wasn't a good segue. Charles in Los Angeles.
Yes. Hey, Stephanie, did you go to church Easter Sunday?
No, my bonnet was still at the dry cleaners.
Okay, well, Barack Obama did.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody wants to, they can just type in Obama Easter Sunday speech and hear what he had to say about Easter and his fellow Christians.
Really? Which mosque did he go to Easter?
And you know what? He didn't run to the press about it, which is very admirable.
So he can't be a real Christian.
Because he wasn't.
It's not Christian unless it's on
YouTube.
Unless it's on camera.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. Okay. Now let's talk about Ken Melman. Okay. First of all, another man I made gay. Just saying. Happened again. It's a rash.
When did you have contact with him?
Just saying. I came out. I'm from a Republican family. I came out a couple weeks ago. Copycat!
No, I think outed him was the condo he bought in Chelsea.
He moved to Chelsea.
Come on.
Come on.
I want to go to Chelsea.
Now, this is a bit of a sticky subject, isn't it? Literally and otherwise. Because, good for him. And, you know, this
he's
is part of what
he's walking in his truth.
Get Shelley right on the phone. Let's find out where he's walking exactly in his truth on his arc to of process.
Over his rainbow
whatever.
Bridge.
Whatever. Oprah. You know what I'm saying? We're... But see, everybody's path is different, and that's the thing, is you don't want to judge, and you don't want to say you should have done it then, or because we all get that. You should have done it then, or you should have blah, blah, blah. And that's one of the things that we talked to Shelley Wright about, that I thought she was very honest about in her book that I love. She said, if you think I could have gotten a record deal in Nashville if I'd come out sooner, you're wrong.
Yep.
You know, and
you're
people
crazy.
People say it about Rosie and Ellen, like, oh, they didn't come out till after they were already blah, blah, blah. Well, could Ellen have gotten her first sitcom? Could Rosie have gotten her first talk show?
No.
Maybe, but maybe not. So, you know, you can't walk in anybody else's shoes or hush puppies or whatever, is my point.
Walk in anybody else's truth?
What? Truth over their
you
arc
You got
of...
your truth on my hush puppies.
You got your arc of process on my... All right.
On my rainbow my bridge.
On my Arc de Triomphe.
Exactly. But Ken Melvin, as you pointed out, the thing that does, like, is just that he was happy to participate. Not happy, maybe, personally conflicted, but they did an awful lot of gay bashing.
Administration in 2004, the campaign that he was in charge of, yes, they did a lot of gay bashing in
and
order to get votes.
And he knew Karl Rove was doing it, obviously, as part of, he was chairman of the Republican Party, and, you know... It's just that part makes me like, oh, well, maybe I should have done. But, you know, I was just saying this or this privately. It's like, okay, but you didn't, you know, you didn't stop them from publicly
and
using gays as a wedge issue.
And he had the power to do so, being in charge of the campaign and all.
Mm-hmm. In particular, Melman's leadership position in the GOP came at a time when the party was stepping up its anti-gay activities, such as the distribution in West Virginia in 2006 of literature linking homosexuality to atheism or the less than subtle coded language in the party's platform. Attempts to redefine marriage in a single state or city could have serious consequences throughout the country. You remember, remember the flyers with the wedding cake with the two men on top of it? And okay. So, lots to talk about with Ken Melman coming out. Our thoughts and yours, 17 minutes after the hour.
Oh, I thought it was Larry Bud Melman. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, wrong guy.
Jim, you've prepared all the wrong material now. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, she has one of these liberal talk shows that nobody listens to.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Think of it as an umbrella protecting you from right-wing bull raining down on you daily.
Yeah, but we kept playing Steven Crowder bull.
That was for comedy purposes.
Oh.
It was for instructional purposes.
I see.
Wow, okay.
1-800-STEP-12.
I don't think that was protecting people from it.
Sorry. We apologize for that.
Okay.
Our umbrella malfunction briefly.
Ella.
You know, it gets stuck and we had to shake it. Now it's back up again.
Okay.
Everything's fine now. You're under my magical protection again. Sorry. You know, the little spokes kind of got stuck and I was like, no,
they got turned inside out.
Oh, no. That's some Steven Crowder bull that just fell on me. Steph! Okay. Buddy in Columbus on Ken Melman coming out. Hello, Buddy.
Hey, him coming out doesn't make him any less odious. And let me tell you, because being here in Ohio in 2004, Ken Blackwell was on record of thanking Mr. Melman for helping to introduce and get on the ballot an anti-gay measure, which they used as cover for the theft of the election. Mm. He also is saying that how he reached out to blacks. In Florida in 2000 and Ohio in 2004, they eliminated the black vote. He also sent out mailers in West Virginia and Arkansas that said, you know, if Kerry's elected, they're going to take the Bible and the gun, and then men will have to marry men.
Yep, exactly. In case you hadn't heard the breaking news, Ken Melman, President Bush's campaign manager in 2004 and former chairman of the Republican National Committee, has come out as gay. He arrived at a conclusion about his identity fairly recently. He just woke up.
Bought a condo in Chelsea and, you know,
decided he wanted to have his colors done.
Yeah.
He agreed to answer a reporter's questions, he said, because now in private life, now when he could have been helpful in the public sphere.
I know.
It's a sticky wicket.
He did a lot of damage.
Yeah.
That's what I'm upset at.
Now in private life, he wants to become an advocate for gay marriage. I, you know, again, one of the reasons I did it, but I don't mean to judge anyone or say, oh, I'm better because I never lied or because I've always been pro-gay rights or what. You know, I understand. Sometimes it is because you're just private and you.
He is hosting a fundraiser, fighting Prop 8, and he's hosting it with Mary Cheney and Margaret Hoover. So maybe he can be instrumental in getting
Thank
Republicans.
Thank you. This is what I've been saying and what I've said on TV is this is not a partisan issue anymore. It shouldn't be because obviously, it's on both sides of the aisle. It is a human issue. It's a civil rights issue. Mm-hmm. And good, if he helps move it forward at what I think is a really critical tipping point in our history in this civil rights battle, then good. Then you welcome him. It's just that
He has a lot of damage to undo, though.
I think Larry King asked me during commercial break, do you believe everyone should come out? Are you for outing? I'm like, no, absolutely not. I think everybody's process is different, and I absolutely, even for someone like that, but it's just some of these guys that have been actively involved in hurting gay people, he said, it's taken me 43 years to get comfortable with this part of my life. Everyone has their own path to travel, their own journey. For me, over the past few months, I've told my family, friends, former colleagues, current colleagues, they've been wonderful and supportive. He says that I guess nobody knew. Privately and off-the-record conversations with the reporter that did this piece, he told of how in private discussions with senior Republican officials, he beat back efforts to attack same-sex marriage. Well, that's like, behind the scenes, I really tried, but,
Great.
Well, there's something to be said for that.
He often wondered why gay voters never form common cause with
Republicans hate you.
Because they hate you and they've been fighting against your rights. Many of the candidates now are for gay people still being able to be fired or discriminated against or not being able to adopt children or, fill in the blank.
Every single Republican think tank out there is fighting tooth and nail against this.
He insisted that President Bush was no homophobe. Well, how come as governor of Texas, he wasn't just for not letting gays adopt? He was for taking kids away from gay couples.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That already had them and had been raising them and loving them. I mean, I don't,
Part of the way he beat Ann Richards was his campaign.
A whisper campaign about her being a lesbian.
Yeah. Same play Karl Rove ran again. He says he wondered why gay voters never formed common cause with Republican opponents of Islamic Jihad, which he called the greatest anti-gay force in the world right now. Well, pretty close with our right-wing anti-gay forces. I mean, extreme right-wing anti-gay rhetoric is,
dangerous.
I understand we don't stone gay people, but you know what I'm saying? It's here we go again, right?
Some
no,
areas of the United States
comparing ourselves to Saudi Arabia, or like
some areas of the United States would like to stone gay people.
Yeah, ask Matthew Shepard about that. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't.
Let's see. He was aware that Karl Rove had been working with Republicans to make sure that anti-gay initiatives and referenda would appear on the November ballots in 2004 and 2006 to help Republicans. He acknowledges that if he had publicly declared his sexuality sooner, he might have played a role in keeping the party mm-hmm. from pushing an anti-gay agenda. It's a legitimate question and one I can understand. He said, I can't change the fact that I wasn't in this place personally when I was in politics. I generally regret that. It's very, very hard personally. He said he wished he had come to terms with his sexual orientation earlier so I could have worked against the federal marriage amendment. He obviously had been the subject of a innuendo and outing campaigns and stuff like that. But he also did say he's not gay. I mean,
he
said in public he's not gay. The rumors are putting a crimp on his social life.
I remember
yada,
that.
Yada. He admits to having misled several people, asked him directly. Again, not judging his path, it's just, but politically, he was part of something that was very, very damaging to gay
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
He said he plans to be an advocate for gay rights within the GOP. Good luck with that. Remains proud to be a Republican.
Oh, jeez.
He said, I wish I was where I am today 20 years ago. The process of not being able to say who I am in public was very difficult. No one knew this except me. My family didn't know. My friends didn't know. Yada, yada, yada. He said, I would hope that we as a party would welcome gay and lesbian supporters. One would hope that, yes. I would also think there needs to be...
I would hope the Nazi party would have more respect for Jews.
Yes, one would hope that,
I'm not
wouldn't
holding
one?
My breath. But
I don't know how gay people can be a part of a party that has, as a plank in its platform, being against gays.
I know.
And being for, quote-unquote, family values.
I know.
It's beyond me.
I know. Exactly. I don't get it either. But, all right. We applaud him and welcome him to the civil rights battle. We will have more of our thoughts and yours on all this celebrity stack, much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The Wicked Sea Hag!
You. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, blow me down.
34 minutes after the hour. All right, you can stop sending me the Roberto Duran email test. The boxer you're thinking of is Roberto Duran during his 1980 fight against Sugar Ray Leonard. It was 11 rows from ringside when Duran said, no moss, no moss. And I'm just saying now they're going to use him in those no moss to ground zero groups.
11 rows from ringside? What does that mean?
I was 11 rows from ringside when he... said his famous no mask, no mask. And I'm just saying someone will use him in one of those ads saying no mask, no mask. let's see. John in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, you guys. I just wanted to point out, I believe that Mr. Melman was the chairman of the Republican National Committee when Jim DeMint was running for Senate in South Carolina the first time. Mm. And I guess actually the only time. And, at that time, one of the planks in the South Carolina Republican Party platform called for establishing a law that would make it illegal for homosexuals to work in public schools. And Mr. DeMint was asked if he supported that. And he said not only did he support that, he thought it should be illegal for any woman who got pregnant outside of wedlock to work in a public school. And I don't recall the chairman of the RNC making a peep about either of those positions.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what, John? I mean, I hear you. But you know, it's like even with my own path. I mean, I'm reticent to criticize someone's path for doing it. But you know, I think it's the bigger question is what Chris and I were talking about is how can you still be a Republican now when these are the kind of people in your party, huh?
I'm not prepared to forgive him for that. I just think that I couldn't believe that someone could be such an idiot. I mean, obviously Jim DeMint is an off the charts idiot, but
I tried
in the Republican Party didn't speak up and say, what the heck?
I'm saying is, John, I'm not prepared to have a courage off with someone, you know, but, you know, I'll say, could I have gotten my first radio show if I'd come out sooner? Maybe not. Maybe. I don't know, you know, but I'm just saying people do have legitimate concerns, whether they're professional or otherwise. It's just, I think it's, some of it I don't get. I just read, who's it? Mary Cheney. Who's Dick Cheney's gay daughter, she just gave money to an anti-gay Republican candidate somewhere. Right. I just don't get it. It
makes no sense at all.
I get it, and this is what I keep trying to say. This is not a partisan issue. It's a human issue. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. That's why I started talking about things that are very private to me, to say, look, this is about being able to look in your loved one's eyes and say, I love you, but I don't believe you deserve the same rights I have. And I think when we put it on that level, we're going to move this whole thing forward. So I applaud Ken Melman. I really do. And I'm sure it was scary for him, and it sounds like he is having some regrets and doubts squaring who he was and what he did with, you know.
Well, then he has a lot of work to do to undo the damage he did all last decade.
Yeah. It sounds like he's trying, you know, that he's obviously, this is part of, because he wants to be part of the Prop 8 battle. He wants to be, I think he said he did this because he was doing some benefit that he was afraid people would go,
The benefit that I mentioned with Mary Cheney and Margaret Hoover.
Yeah. But see, this is part of why I never talked about it, because this is what I hate the most, is that this presumption that you'd have to be Hispanic to think the Arizona law is racist, or you have to be Muslim to think they should be able to build a mosque wherever they want in America. You'd have to be a gay to think that gay people deserve equal rights. So it's, you know.
Or you have to be a Cheney to do the work of the devil.
And exactly. And exactly. Other people do the work of the devil besides the Cheneys. You see what you led me into there, Jim?
Oh,
all right, let's go to Jay in Detroit. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jay.
Well, Mama, I love you. Love your moocs.
Thank you,
baby.
But
I got to tell you, Ken Melman is a loathsome creature. He has profited for better than a decade destroying the rights of other people, people's children taken away, marriage denied, you know, and to come out now when the gravy train of Bush and company has derailed is a little late. And
well, I can't, you know, the only thing I'm saying, Jay, is I don't think we can judge someone's heart and mind. And, you know, I think that this seems genuine now where he's at.
We can judge a decade of action.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm judging here is his decade of action against gay people.
And I don't buy this whole thing he's sprouting about coming to terms with it. He's always known. That's why they've been trying to out him for the last decade, because everyone catches him in bars. I hope he can't get a date. I hope he gets a drink thrown in his face every time he goes out.
Come on now, Jay. We're the progressive side.
No sympathy for him. None.
All right. Well, a lot of people out there
feel the same way as Jay.
No, I understand. But if you compare people, too. I mean, people like Larry Craig, who, by the way, still hasn't admitted he's gay. He has been working his whole life against gay rights.
I love my wife.
He loves his wife.
I love my wife. You know, Matt, you've probably had this situation before where you have a bit of toilet paper stuck to your heel, and before you know it, you've got some man's unit in your mouth. I'm sure that happens to you all the... No! No, that has never, ever happened.
Let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
Don't you agree with Margaret Cho's mother that everyone's a little bit gay? No.
Computer says no.
No, I don't. Yeah, but anyway, what I'm saying is these are guys with 40-year records of voting at every turn against gay people, against gay rights, you know. And so I don't, you know, that's what I'm saying, Chris. All I'm saying, I don't know if you can you put Ken Mellman in that category. I don't, yeah. Here's the story I was looking for. Mary Cheney, daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, one-time gay outreach director for Coors Brewing, gave $1,000 to a Republican Senate hopeful who voted against same-sex marriage and allowing gay couples to adopt children in the District of Columbia. By the way, FYI, she and her partner have a child.
Yeah. Wow.
However,
they wouldn't have.
She's on the board of this fundraiser that Ken Mellman is going to that is fighting Proposition 8. So she is doing some good work there.
Right.
She's working both sides of the street.
She is working both sides of the street.
All right.
You know, so you can't say she's completely evil.
Yeah. I didn't say she's evil. Well, my point is that I don't get people like her or Ken Mellman that are, say, they're Republican and they support the Republican. I'm just saying, in general, Republicans in many, many areas support taking away rights from gay people or certainly, you know. All right, let's go to Chris in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. I just want to point out that Ken Mellman is not unique in that a lot of people who are in the closet are very anti-gay and very homophobic while they're in the closet trying to hide who they are.
Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, Chris, is I have compassion for that. You know, I'm not prepared to hold myself up as a better person because I worked for gay rights. You know,
I'm not saying that, but I also want to add that he's not the only person that will vote against their best interest. You know, whether it's a person who is, working class citizen or poor person that votes Republican and votes completely against their best economic interests, or somebody who's staying in a party that's clearly against their social interests. It really, there's a lot of people that will vote against their best interests because of other reasons that I fail to understand.
Yep, exactly. All right. I believe children are the future, particularly ones that call my show. Logan.
I believe the children are the future.
Logan in Orange County. Hi, Logan. You're six?
Yeah.
Hi.
Fox News is really stupid. Rush Limbaugh is stupid. Mark Furman.
Did you say Mark Furman is stupid?
I'm sorry, Logan. What else?
Hi. Bye.
All right. Oh, it's a little ventriloquist act. Oh, everyone wants to be Brandon, you know, the star of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Brandon?
Can you say George Bush is a dump truck?
The Bush is a dump
truck. Thank you, Brandon.
All right. That is precious. Okay, let's go to Jill in Australia. What's going on? Hi, Jill.
Hey. We need a president. We need a prime minister, actually. That's what we have. Have you got a spare one?
Have we got a spare prime minister?
I got one right here.
We haven't had one for over a week now.
That's right. You're having some kind of issues down there, aren't you?
Yeah, but we're doing okay without them.
you're getting along.
All right.
We're seeing them fight amongst each other, so the independents are just, making them all sweat. Because it's our independents that decide who'll make our next prime minister and who'll be our government.
Oh, boy. All right, we'll let you know if we find a spare one. Thanks for calling. Anyone find a spare prime minister, send it Jill's way.
Did you just try an Australian accent there?
No.
No.
Okay. All right. It sounded like you were kind of trying to attempt
that. Dave,
put another prime minister on the Barbie.
Yeah.
Dave in Orange County. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steph. I'm shocked, I tell you, at this Ken Mellman thing.
Yes, me too.
What's next? Karl Rove? And when Ken Mellman used the Karl's little pet nickname, was it my little turd blossom?
Oh,
I want to know.
Oh, boy. And is that who let Jeff Gannon in the back door? Just curious. Uh-huh.
Wow. Remember Jeff Gannon?
Jeff Gannon. White House Guckert Gannon. White House reporter.
Whatever became of him?
I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah, that whole story. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
That was story's passed.
Sorted.
All right. Boy. So, yeah, lots
There's
more.
Rumors on the internet about all kinds of things.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Fox News, Major Garrett, was he demoted? Did they strip the epaulets from his shoulder?
He's Captain Garrett.
Yeah.
I think he wanted to go and work for a real news organization.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow.
Yes, well, he was an actual White House correspondent, like Jeff Gannon.
He was actually quite good. He was very fair.
He recently got the front row seat in the White House.
Right.
He is leaving the network for print. He's announced he will be leaving September 3rd to return to print journalism.
He wasn't like Carl Cameron. Carl Cameron is just completely snarky to any Democrat. At least Major Garrett, he did ask some tough questions in the White House press room, but he was fair. Mm-hmm. He was fair.
Not balanced.
And now that he's leaving, I have no idea what that does to Fox's journalism department.
Maybe Stephen Crowder will get that seat.
Oh, boy.
Right-wing comedian featured on Hannity.
Hey.
Okay. All right.
I've got me a peace prize.
That's...
Marky Mark's package in his underwear and the connection to Ken Melman.
What?
We'll be back. I don't know if
there
is any. It's just the next thing I'm talking about. 45 minutes after the
I'm
hour.
I'm staying tuned for that.
That was clunky. So infomercially. 45 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Nonstop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
There it is, our dream ticket for 2012. Michelle Bachman and Jeanine Turner. Bachman's over the rover dial. 50 minutes after the hour. I'm sorry, Stephen Crowder's got me into the comedy voice this morning.
Oh, boy.
Right-wing comedian Stephen Crowder. 1-800-GOOD-MORNING. Good buddy, every morning. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. I'm sleepy. Von Seal in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Von Seal.
Good morning. I am not drunk.
We apologize.
That's okay. It's not that I might not be some mornings, but this morning not so much.
Okay. No,
you know,
so noted.
Mr. Melman. Mr. Ken Melman. Number one, who didn't know that?
Yeah, hello.
And number two.
Everyone's like, oh, my gaydar is fine.
And by the way, Stephanie, when you were here in Asheville, I think you were turning me gay a little bit.
Oh, dear.
Wow. There's no telling what the gay rage is doing now.
I had to resist the urge to kind of, you know, rub you on the knee, but I held back. It's just because I love you so much.
Tell Uncle Squeezy more about this.
Maybe later. Ken Melman is of that ilk that thinks that the rules don't apply to them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know anybody who's having trouble making a mortgage payment. They don't know anybody who can't adopt a child when that's all they ever wanted in the world. They don't know anybody who suffers from what most Americans are suffering from now in this recession, and it applies to his sexuality as well as anything else. It's just like the rules don't apply to me.
Yep.
So unfortunate.
Yep, I hear you.
I'm not feeling very sympathetic toward him. I get, you know, that, but I just, too much pain to too many other people. I hope he lives a long, long life because he has got a lot of karma to work off.
Yeah, well, all right. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. Oh, by the way, I think Radio Shack had recalled other gaydar the week I came out.
Yeah.
Now apparently everyone's like, oh, thank you, it's fixed now, because I knew that Ken Melman thing. Tamara from Evanston writes, you totally blew away my gaydar, which is only to say that you're femme and gorgeous and all those mook jokes about cosmetic surgery have to be just jokes, since lesbians don't go over the knife except for sports-related injuries, right? No, that's all true. Everything we've said on the show, pretty much true. I'm Frankenwoman. I have barely any of my original parts. Not any sports-related injuries.
You would have thought with all of those plastic surgeries, you would have gotten the boobs done.
No, they're fine.
Thank Thank you, Jim. Jim has cupped them. You haven't. They're fine.
I don't.
No, I don't like fake boobs.
No,
they shouldn't be standing like those coolant domes at San Onofre when you lie down. You know, those.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just wrong.
All right, a couple of more, then we'll get the celebrity stack. This gave me an opportunity to read more the gay letters because of Ken Melman. And then there's a moratorium on them. Bob in New Mexico. Steph, thanks so much for the show, sharing the truth about yourself with your radio family. I must say I'm a bit jealous. When I came out, I surprised a grand total of one person. I thought I was sharing this big, important news. All my friends and family had me figured out long ago. Talk about destroying my Norma Desmond moment. Oh, you're still big, Bob. It's your family and friends that got small.
I am big. Oh. It's the picture that got small.
I'm ready for my big announcement. No.
I think I meant containment vessels.
What's that?
I think I meant containment vessels. All whatever
right,
those
Mr.
are.
Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
I'm still stuck in the San Onofre thing.
Oh, here's some of the gay fun facts. I wonder if Ken Melman has got his kit yet. Jeff in Olympia, Washington. Staff, your official copy of the homosexual agenda will be mailed shortly. Finally! You think I've had some idea what it is and should reach you in the next few weeks. Please keep it in a dry, safe place. And under no circumstance allow it to this sacred document to fall in the hands of non-gay people. You may drop by your LGBT community center, pick up your recruitment kit, which includes membership drive, literature and forms, list of LGBT-approved terms and slogans, guaranteed to lure in unsuspecting victims, names of softball teams needing a coach, coupons for Home Depot, Birkenstocks, $50 off the pickup truck of your choice. Again, congratulations. Now get out there and start recruiting, lady. We have a backlog of toaster ovens, and they're not giving themselves away. Well, then, fine.
Hmm. And you're required to wear flannel shirts even when it's 100 degrees.
I don't care for them. I wonder if Ken Melman, someone found an old picture of Marky Mark in his underwear, and that's what Ken Melman was afraid.
Remember those ads for Calvin Klein?
Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
That is quite impressive, may I just say. Apparently he, this is my favorite, I'm not even sure this is a word, but Marky Mark gets all ass-ly about it when you ask him about those.
Oh!
He gets all holy.
Gotcha.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Marky Mark still really wants people to see him as Mark Wahlberg, serious Oscar-nominated actor instead of a hot piece who's responsible for awakening the genitals of 1,000 newbie gays in the 90s. He still gets all holy in the face when someone brings it up. Apparently Drew Barrymore brought it up to him. She ran into him and said...
I bet you brought it up.
She said that she was having phone sex in her latest movie while thinking about his ads for Calvin Klein back in the day. She said, oh, my God, I did tell him that. I ran into an award show, and I talked about how hot you are in your underwear. Who wouldn't be excited about that? He's a very nice guy, but I've had other conversations with him that went much better.
Oh.
She was not prepared for his holiness about the Calvin Klein ads.
Yeah, something tells me he doesn't like people bringing up the Funky Bunch either. Just
don't,
saying.
Don't refer to the Funky Bunch in his underwear or the musical group. All right. Oh, geez. Another story about the situation. The Sitch. They call him the Jersey Shore.
Do they call him the Sitch?
He's he's representing a protein-infused vodka.
That, there is such a thing?
Ever wanted to get your drunk on without missing out on all the protein needed to keep your body in perfect date-raping shape? Mike, the situation.
I'm sure Lindsay Lohan has a formula for that.
Mike, the situation, Sorrentino capitalizing on his hard-parting Jersey Shore. He's in Devotion Vodka, it's called. That's extra protein. Mike says he loves it because he can help you can keep your body in the best shape possible while still being able to party. Devotion Vodka is described as the first and only vodka using something with protein stuff in it, and it has a Chardonnay-like finish.
Now with more lard.
Apparently.
What?
All right. I thought all Sheryl Crow wanted to do was have some fun. Now she wants to have some fun and save some lives. We give her a big, breast cancer survivor Sheryl Crow doing her part to make sure other women keep their health in check and able to detect and treat breast cancer as early as possible. Tuesday marks the grand opening of the Sheryl Crow Imaging Center in Los Angeles,
Hooray.
A state-of-the-art breast imaging center. Yay! Yay for her. My mommy has breast cancer. And the guy that owns the show, who's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, mm-hmm. who I was with last night, is the president of the T.J. Martell Foundation,
right.
which you should also check out. He lost his wife to breast cancer, and so they're doing great work. With musicians and otherwise. I'll hook them up. That's my job. I'm like Jesus. I bring people together before I go on to a better place. In this case, face down in a pool of Chardonnay in my house.
Did you just compare yourself to Jesus?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Wow.
Did you hear that, Newsbusters?
By the way, in a quick, another great note, Dick Durbin, whom I love, and there is a picture on my website of me copping a feel from him at an event in Illinois. He underwent surgery to remove a tumor earlier this month. He is now cancer-free. The tumor was benign, and we are very, very glad about that. One of the good guys.
Yep.
All right, that's it for us. Don't forget, Fridays with Fuglesang, John Fuglesang in tomorrow. That's it for us.
And though. Rob Reiner tomorrow, too.
And Rob Reiner. Yay! All right, I'd like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.